And finally, the third pasuk is Tehillim Samach Gimel pasuk Beis, where David HaMelech says, Aleikim Keli Ata Shachareka, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, Kama Lecha Besari, Be'eretz Tziya V'ayev B'limayim. Again, O God, you are my God, I seek you, my soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you, in a parched and thirsty land with no water. This is the experience of a soul which is consumed by a very intense, overwhelming, and powerful yearning and passion to touch the divine, which comes as a result and a consequence of deep and intense contemplation and meditation upon the reality of Hashem, and both His very intimate relationship with every single aspect of our life, Mamalik Kol Almin, and His transcendental reality which surpasses far and beyond the parameters of our existence, to that level where everything is absolutely naught. To clarify this a bit better, I think it would be useful to read and quote two halachas of Rambam in his Mishneh Torah and his Yad HaChazakah, which characteristically, the words over here in Tanya mirror and reflect to a certain degree these words of the Rambam. This is in Rambam, Hilchos Seder HaTorah, Perek Beis, the second Perek actually in the entire Mishneh Torah. The Rambam begins, and I quote, and I'll translate. He says, Hakel ha-nichbad v'ha-neira hazeh mitzvah la'ahavay l'yira isay, shenemar v'ahavtus Hashem alakacha, v'nemar es Hashem alakacha tira. It is a mitzvah to love and to fear this glorious and awesome God. As the Torah says in Dvarim and Perek Vav, you shall love Hashem. And the same Perek in Dvarim, it says, you should fear Hashem as Hashem alakecha tira. And then he asks a question. These are two mitzvahs, part of the mitzvahs of the 613 mitzvahs of the Torah. One mitzvah is Ahavas Hashem, there's a mitzvah to love Hashem, and there's a mitzvah to experience awe and reverence, fear of Hashem, yira. So the Rambam in Halacha Beis asks, V'heichi aderech la'avasi li'irasi. What is the path to attain love and fear of Hashem? And the Rambam answers, he says, listen, B'shar she'yizbeinin ha'adam b'maisav v'bruav ha'nefloyim. When a person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds and creations, v'yiramehen chachmasi she'ein la'erech v'leiketz. And he appreciates his infinite wisdom that surpasses all comparison. Miyad hu oyev umeshabeach umefa'er umisavetayva leida Hashem hagadol. He will immediately love, praise, glorify Him, yearning with tremendous desire to know Hashem's great name. K'mo sha'amar David, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim Perek Mem Beis Pasuk Gimel, Sama nafshi le'lekim lekel chay. My soul thirsts for Hashem, for the living God. And the Rambam continues. Ukshemachashiv bidvarim ha'elu atzmon. When he continues to reflect on these same matters, miyad hu nirta la'achayra v'yifchat. He will immediately recoil in awe and fear. V'yodeya shehu birya ktana shfala afela aymedes b'dahas kala ma'uta lifnei tamim deis. Appreciating how he's a tiny, lowly, dark creature standing with his flimsy, limited wisdom before he who is of perfect knowledge. Again, quoting David HaMelech, K'mesha Amar David in Tehillim, Perek Ches, Ki ere shamecha ma'isi etzba'isecha ma'enesh kisiskirenu. When I see your heavens, the work of your fingers, I wonder, what is man that you should recall him? This is the Rambam in Hilchos Seder HaTorah, Perek Beis. The Pirush, the commentary on the Rambam, explains on this Rambam that there are two motivations for love and fear. One, he says, is the benefit or difficulty that a person will receive. A second motivation is the appreciation of the positive qualities for which a person should be loved, or his greatness of personality for which he would be held or should be held in awe. Similarly, with our relationship to Hashem, there are times when our sages, the Chachamim, encourage the love of Hashem in appreciation and an expression of gratitude for the good He does for us, and emphasize the importance of fearing Him because of the punishments He can bring to us. Though these concepts are true, the Pirush says, when a person loves or fears Hashem solely for these reasons, He is in truth loving himself and fearing his own harm. He is not concerned with Hashem. He is rather concerned with what Hashem will do for him. What lies at the heart of this emotion is himself, not Hashem. I love Hashem because what he's doing for me, I'm scared of him because he can punish me. This is not a relationship to Hashem as much as it's a relationship to yourself. Sometimes it's important, sometimes it's crucial. Over here the Pirush says the Rambam is elevating us and he's teaching us that the true mitzvah of Ava and Yira is to reach a higher and more complete level of love and awe, to love and fear Hashem in appreciation of who He is, in appreciation of His true being. And similarly, we understand over here when the Alter Rebbe discusses both the Yira and the Ava, it's a Yira which comes of appreciating and experiencing the Reimimus, the exaltation, the majesty of Hashem, understanding how the essence and the truth of all reality on the level of Mamali Kalam and Seyo Kalam and Akula Kamekele Chashev is godliness, both in a sense of Yira and Pachat, and finally in a very powerful yearning and thirst to touch and cleave and connect to this reality. Question you're asking is, the Rambam starts with Ava and Yira follows. The Alter Rebbe begins with Yira and Ava follows. That is a wonderful question indeed. The answer is as follows, but before I answer it, I have to preface another question, which is more important. In addition to the contradiction between the Rambam's order and Alter Rebbe's order, it seems like the Alter Rebbe is contradicting his very self from the beginning of the Perek and further on in the Perek. If you look in the beginning of the Perek, again, Dav Zayin Amid Aleph, what is the order of the Midas? The third line from the bottom, V'hamidai saying, Ahavas Hashem, U'pachadai v'yirase. Pachad and Yira follow Av. Right? The same is true a few lines before, V'shiva simei habinyan, chesed gvura. Chesed, attraction, is associated with the feeling of love. Gvura, rejection, with the feeling of awe, reverence, and fear. So again, when he discusses in the supernal spheres, chesed precedes gvura. Again, when he discusses the midos in the human being's experience, ahava precedes pachad and yira. Nevertheless, over here, the order changes. Furthermore, even in this very page, v'heinem ava eim hamaylidos, ahava sashem, but then when he specifies and begins elaborating and actually articulating the evolutionary, psychological, and spiritual process, the order alternates. The explanation in this briefly is as follows. In the system of the human soul, which mirrors and reflects the system of the Adam HaElyon, of the 10 divine supernal projections, chesed indeed precedes gvura. Love precedes awe. The first emotional faculty and experience is chesed, is attraction and ahava. Indeed, it is explained in many places in Chassidus that ahava, chesed, is the catalyst which underlies and accompanies every one of the other six emotional faculties. The reason for that is because by definition, ahava equals relationship. What is the idea of midos? The idea of midos, the seven midos, are relationships of the human being. Relationships. Intellectual experience of man is not a personal relationship with anything. It is a cognitive experience. It's an objective experience which is totally disconnected from you and who you are. Midos are the human being's responses, impulses, instinctive or meditative, as a result of meditation, no difference at the moment, but midos is the human being's feeling and attitude and relationship to any given issue or any given person. So every midah, whether it's rejection or reverence or the midos following them, ultimately, it's all about a relationship. In order to fear someone or be awed from someone or have reverence from someone, there's some type of relationship. If you have no relationship whatsoever, there's no awe, there's no fear. So chesed, attraction, is actually at the essence of all of the other midas. So therefore, in the order of the Sfirah's chesed, attraction, positive relationship, is always the first and precedes everything, because that is ultimately the source and the essence of all the other experiences. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe discusses that here as well, as Ava being the first. Nevertheless, when you're dealing with a specific issue, and you're discussing how emotional faculties come as a consequence of a contemplative intellectual experience, sometimes the first child will be love, depending on the circumstance. Usually, in relationship to what he's talking about in Tanya, when you're contemplating an issue like Mamali Kalam and Sevev Kalam and Kula Kamekalei Chashev, in order it should be an honest emotional experience, Yira will precede Ahava. And let me explain you why and what I mean over here. There is a difference between love of another human being, love of our good friends, of our spouses, of our children, and love of Hashem. We are very physically oriented people. We all have an ego, and we perceive reality, at least at first glance, to be what it is, what it shows itself to be. We perceive the world as being matter, as being physical. We see ourselves the first thing in the world. Therefore, when you're dealing with a love relationship to someone within that realm of experience, love can precede awe, it's not a problem. When you're dealing, however, with cultivating a feeling of love towards Hashem, over here there is almost a metamorphosis of identity. There is a very deep transformation that occurs in the human being's experience from loving himself, loving physicality, and loving spirituality. In the words of the Chavos HaLevavos, Rabbeinu B'chayi Ibn Kudeh, in his master work of Musar, of Jewish ethics, Chavos HaLevavos in Shair Cheshbon HaNefesh, Peri Gimel, says a very popular statement, "V'kasher Amar u'kvar Amar echad min ha'chachamim." One of the wise men has already once said, "Kasher lo yischabru b'kli echad ha'mayim v'ha'esh, kein lo yischabru b'lev ha'mayim min ahava selum hazav ahava selum haba." As water and fire cannot abide together in one vessel, so love of this world and love of the next world cannot dwell together in the heart of the believer. Why not? Love means, what is your definition of reality? What are your priorities? What are you love for? What are you connected to? What are you cleave to? What is your yearning for? What is your thirst for? That's what love is all about. Love is a serious relationship with something. So loving Hashem is not such an easy task. Loving Hashem means that you redirect your focus of, instead of seeing reality as clear physicality and circumstantial events and your ego, you come to realize that ultimate and true reality, what really counts, is godly reality. It is a very deep shift in the human identity. And whenever there is a shift between one identity and another identity, there has to be a point of absence in the middle. In order that a seed should vegetate and sprout forth to become a beautiful tree, the seed must rot in the ground. Why is that? Because as long as it remains within its own realm, it cannot grow to become something beyond itself. It will remain as is. If you want to grow to become something beyond your realm, you have to leave your previous state. That must rot, and now you can assume a new dimension. If you look in the resume of any human being in history who achieved true greatness, you will see that in the first stages their lives were fraught with failure. In order to be a winner, you have to be a loser. The Kutzker Rebbe once said, he was known for his sharp lines, he said, a horse walks in the center of the road. A human being walks either right or left. In other words, there are human beings who never lose, who never fail, but they will never achieve true greatness, because they will not allow themselves to go do something that they might be unsuccessful of. They fear failure, they fear losing, so they always do things that they know, this I'm good in. If you stick to that, fine, you'll be as good as you are. Then there are human beings who are ready to step out, to soar, to jump beyond yourself. If you're jumping beyond yourself, you will lose, you'll fail, because you're not experienced yet. But ultimately, you raise yourself to a higher realm. Now the seed can become from a seed, it can become a tree. If there's no rotting, that will never happen. Whenever you're sitting, a student who's sitting by a teacher, listening to a new idea. So there are, when you hear ideas that are not really new ideas. They might be new in the sense that you haven't heard them before, but they suit your mode of understanding. As mentioned before, then you really don't need the idea of chachma. But then there are those ideas that are totally new. If the student will not lose himself for a moment, if he will not be confused, he will never be able to grasp it. If you always understand everything, immediately you can never understand truly something truly new. Every writer, every speaker knows that in the middle of writing the article, if it's to be a real new revolutionary article, you have to give up. You have to become miserable. This is not going to work. You're totally confused. You're in a state of total darkness. Only then can you assume a new identity. The transformation from one identity to another identity, by definition, must have a void, absent point in the middle. If you are extending one identity, that requirement does not exist. If it's a true transformation, you cannot continue this identity. There has to be a break, seizing, and now you assume something which surpasses it. So when you're talking about Av, experiencing Av as Hashem, Yira will precede it. Yira is the sense of losing yourself, of humility, of awe, of reverence. A love to another human being does not have to be preceded by awe. But when you want to appreciate the Mamali Kalam and Sevev Kalam and Kula Kameh Kaloi Chashev, and it should become a serious experience in your life, so the Alter Rebbe says, although relationship is at the core of it, and therefore Ava precedes it, nevertheless, in the actual process of evolution, under normal circumstances, what the human being will experience first is a sense of humility, where he strips himself from his layers, where he loses himself, where there's a sense of abnegation, of humility, where he stands humble before a higher reality. Now, when there was the absence, there was the devoid, can he now assume a love, a yearning, a passion, which is a positive, attractive relationship, not a rejective relationship. But if there's never a yira from Hashem, usually it will never be an ava for Hashem. It will be an ava for yourself. There has to be that moment when a serious relationship with Hashem equals a very powerful sense of humility. So now the question is, what about the Rambam? So interesting, by the way, the Pirush writes on this Rambam, their Ava is much greater than Yira, and it follows Yira. And the Rambam over here is discussing both elements, and you should know an axiom that Ava will always come after Yira. But the Rambam was extremely meticulous, and the Rambam writes Ava before Yira. So it's interesting that the Pirush says this even in the Rambam. And he says that that's the order, just like Dr. Rebbe says in Tanya. What the meaning in the Rambam is, I do not know, but perhaps I will suggest, with the introduction of something else, what's the pasuk that the Rambam brings? Which pasuk? Sama nafshi lelekim lekel chai. That was the second pasuk the Alter Rebbe brought. Now, if you look at the three psukim the Alter Rebbe brought, there's something very difficult to understand. The first pasuk he brought, what was the first pasuk? Sama nichsef avagam kol sanafshi is in Tehillim Pei Dalet, Tehillim 84. The second pasuk, Tzama Nafshi Lelekim, is in Tehillim Mem Beis. It goes back, 42. The third pasuk, Elekim Keli Ata Shachereka, Tzama Lecha Nafshi, is in Tehillim Samach Gimel. He jumps to 84, he goes back to 42, and he jumps back to 63. What's going on? Either go one direction or another direction. The Rambam is very understood. The Rambam brings one pasuk, and he brings the first pasuk available on this issue in Tehillim. The pasuk of Tzama Nafshi Lelekim, which is in Tehillim Mem Beis. What is the meaning of the Alter Rebbe? Briefly, again, he was very meticulous. These three verses in Tehillim are not just three verses emphasizing the same experience. They are rather three responses to three modes of meditation and contemplation. There is contemplation in the reality of Mamali Kalam, how Hashem fills the worlds, and that is denoted in the pasuk Nichsefa v'gam kol sanafshi l'chatzreis beis Hashem, where the human being's heart and flesh pines and yearns for the courtyard of Hashem, The courtyard denotes the outer projection. It's not part of the internal chamber, it's the outer projection. It's Hashem's relationship with a very defined and articulated limited world. The second pasuk is the emotional consequence from a contemplation in the reality of Saiviv Kalam. And therefore David HaMelech says, Masai Avei Ve'ira Pnei Aleikim. When shall I come and appear before the face of Hashem? This is not the courtyard of Hashem. This is already a projection from a much more intimate and deeper dimension of the godly reality. But nevertheless, there is a relationship with the universe. There is already a constriction. This is an image. There is a projection. The face of Hashem, of course, in an anthropomorphic manner. Finally, David HaMelech gives a third pasuk where he says, Shamalcha nafshi, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. And this denotes an emotional response which comes as a consequence of contemplation in the reality of Kula Kamei Kalei Hashem. If you look in the contemplation the Rambam gives us, the object of contemplation, what are we discussing? Hashem's wisdom in creation. The Rambam's object which we are contemplating is the level of Mamali Kalalman, perhaps Saiviv Kalalman. The Rambam says a person contemplates his wondrous and great deeds and creations, appreciates his infinite wisdom that surpasses all comparison, he would immediately love. The Rambam's object of contemplation is dealing with godliness which is expressed via creation, which is Mamali Kalaman and to a certain degree Saiviv Kalaman. Perhaps that's why he brings the pasuk, Tzama Nafshi Lelekim Lekelchai. Thus, since it's a love, which is a relationship with Hashem as He is enclosed with our reality, so then even in the process of birth, Ava can precede Yira. Because there is not a total transformation of one identity to a total another identity. It is, yes, a transformation of focus, of perspective. It's appreciating Hashem in creation via a random natural creation. But nevertheless, ultimately, it's still in the realm of existence. In Tanya, however, where he gives the alternative of his baininess of contemplation in Mamali, and Seviv, and even in Kula Kamei Kalei Chashiv, which is that level of God, Hashem, which totally has no relationship with the world, that level where all reality is naught, that a human being should be able to appreciate it and experience truth on that level of reality, then Yira will precede the Ava. Just conclude, as usual, with a short episode. When the author of Tanya was arrested by the Tsarist government, he was arrested in the year 1798, a day after Sukkot. He lived in Lyazhna, which is a small city in White Russia, and he was taken by the Tsar's government to Petersburg, which was the capital at the time, and was imprisoned for more than 7 weeks until his liberation on the day of Yutes Kislev, the 19th day of Kislev, that year, 1798. When they came to get the Alter Rebbe to capture him, which was very serious accusations made against him, accusations to the extent where he was accused as being a rebellion against the government, where God forbid, sometimes they actually would give the death penalty punishment for such a crime. So when they came to get the Alter Rebbe, he realized that they are coming, so he went into hiding. He escaped his home, and he actually went to hide in a bar in town in Lyazhna. Accompanying him was one of his greatest Hasidim followers and disciples, whose name was Rabbi Shmuel Munkus. Rabbi Shmuel Munkus was a very pious, sensitive, and religious Jew, simultaneously possessing a very powerful sense of humor, very sharp tongue, and a very keen mind. So the Alter Rebbe was there for several hours, and what is he planning to do? Is he going to stay here? I mean, ultimately, he has to do something. They are going to get him. I mean, he can't escape the country. So after being there for several hours, he turned to Reb Shmuel Munkus and he says, Reb Shmuel, what should I do? Should I go out and give myself over to the hands of the authorities, or should I continue to hide? Reb Shmuel Munkus says, Rebbe, go. Go. let them take you. But the Rebbe says, why? He says, listen, memanavshech. Memanavshech means, either way you look at it, you should do it. He says, if you're taka Rebbe, if you're really a Rebbe, you're a serious business, then what are you worried about? They won't be able to harm you, they won't be able to do anything, so what's the problem? And if you're not a Rebbe, then you deserve it. Why I deserve it? He says, because who gave you the right to take away from hundreds and thousands of Jews their pleasure, their delight in materialism? Have a wonderful week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.